Welcome to the Resolve Podcast. Great pleasure for this new episode with absolute special guest, somebody I've been dreaming to have for a long time in our podcast. So Pascal Vaucher, welcome to the Resolve Podcast.
Thank you very much. Your interest is quite nice. I almost start blushing.
You can cry later, not a problem.
It's okay.
Pascal, you're the CEO of Wüst & Wüst, yes. Which is, you know, one of the most recognized essentially real estate broker in the Swiss German markets. It's a great honor. As you know, Resolve aspires to work with the best. And so to have you here to talk a little bit about real estate, talk about luxury, mm-hmm. talk about Zurich, Engadine. I understand you grew up in Engadine, so kind of also to understand a little bit how you see the different markets. And then to obviously talk about money, you know, who buys these expensive properties and obviously how do we finance that? That's a bit mm-hmm. the plan for today. But before we start, just maybe tell us a bit about yourself, you know, who you are, who you grew up, and then also about the firm. What's what you guys do and what are the plans?
Thank you. My name is Pascal. I'm the CEO of Wüst & Wüst. I grew up in St. Moritz and then went to the States, worked there for quite some time, returned back and went through different stages of career. Eventually, I took over the role as CEO of Wüst & Wüst. Wüst & Wüst, to give you a bit of a broader context, is a daughter company of the Intercity Group, which is larger real estate company focusing on different segments. This, I think, differentiates us also from other real estate players where they pretty much do everything under one brand. Wüst & Wüst is very segment focused as on the exclusive markets, I say. Luxury is probably not the right term for it, but yeah, it goes in that direction.
There's also where you partner with Christie's, right?
That's absolutely true. And we've been partnering with them for almost 18 years, I believe.
18 years.
So yeah. There's quite some history with it. And it's, you know, it provides, how should I say, it's an additional sign of quality. Because Christie's is different than other, like those brands, where Christie's literally has entire territories and they invite you to become a partner. You have to fulfill certain criteria and you have to prove yourself continuously that you meet those standards. So to remain part of this. It's been a great pleasure and also a lot of success, the partnership with Christie's.
Yeah. And so you talk about the company, the firm, part of the group, mm-hmm. but Wüst & Wüst itself, where do you guys operate today?
Well, Wüst & Wüst generally, I mean, I want to say our market is German-speaking Switzerland. Currently, we have an office in Küsnacht, Zurich, then Pfäffik und Schwyz, Lucerne, Zug, St. Moritz. And we're opening up another one shortly in Basel.
Another exciting market.
Yeah. I think so as well, yeah. There's a lot of turnover due to high fluctuation of expats. They come in, they stay a certain period of time, and they have the tendency to, as they come from the States or wherever, they have the tendency that they want to own. So they purchase and they sell a couple of years later after again. So it's interesting, yeah.
In Switzerland, it's not uninteresting to do that, by the way. So
it is.
Capital, but
yes,
we'll get
to that. Of course.
And so you maybe tell us a bit about kind of what type of properties you guys focus on? Because I would imagine it's as you said, a bit the exclusive segment. What's kind of the typical,
that you guys have? It's a very good question. And I get asked that question a lot. Where does it start? And I think most people have the idea of it starts with a certain value point, which is actually not really true. I always tell people, exclusive, you know it when you see it. You know, it can be a loft on Zürichberg, which is just, I mean, has fantastic view, exceptional standards, everything. And it doesn't mean that the price has to be in several millions. No, it's just the standard of the property that makes it special. And then obviously it goes up to how to say, staggering amounts where we have properties that we sell ranging up to 75 million. There's one in Lucerne right now that's about in almost that range. So some beautiful estates. I want to say probably the largest portion, it's a very wide band, but this is due to the, as we are in all different locations, probably 8 to 20 million. It's probably so. And then you have obviously certain areas like Zug is very sought after, and larger properties get very pricey.
Yes.
Lucerne is sought after by people, and it's interesting how it differentiates. Lucerne, for example, has a large Norwegian community. They came with the...
Yeah, also in Ticino.
That's absolutely true. Lugano has some very wealthy Norwegian families that actually...
But we'll go back to the clients. To maybe before we go there, just for us also to understand, right? What does it take to be a good performer within WüstenWüst? I would imagine you look for great people. What does it take to be a great...
I think the typical person at WüstenWüst does not exist, so to speak. There's such a broad range. I mean, we have from our own notary experts who support the clients through the whole due diligence process, contract work, everything, then to people who actually used to work as lawyers and now just they started to work in real estate. I want to say key people with us, they have been staying with us for quite some time. The heads of Zurich, Zug, for example, they've been with us over 13 years. So there's a lot of experience, you know, and I think it's experience that makes the difference. It's something that you learn over time because the segment that you're in with those very high-end clients, some of the clients are also fairly demanding and they expect a certain service delivered for what they pay at the end. And that resolves in people having to have knowledge on legal issues, on migration issues, on tax issues. And you don't have to be an expert on everything in detail, but you have to have a broad knowledge that you can give them certain comfort of what are they looking at or what are they going into.
A lot of problems to resolve. We'll get there.
Yes, absolutely. It comes back to your name.
We talked about real estate, Engadine, obviously, where you grew up, Zurich. What do you see as major trends in these real estate markets today? And what are the differences between kind of the two markets, which are two very famous markets for real estate in Switzerland? Yeah.
Both markets, totally different, so to speak. For example, if we look back a year, a little more than a year, we had the whole discussion around inheritance tax.
Yeah.
So basically, in the market in Zurich, suddenly it slowed down massively because a lot of people who actually had intentions to come here, they said, hold on, if we purchase here, if we settle here
now... It might
now,
be really bad.
Yes, we might have to sell again and leave. This could actually turn into... This issue has as such been resolved. And if you look at the Zurich market, interestingly, you have a lot of people who move in and buy properties because a lot of people living here, they would rather live somewhere between Küsnacht up Erlenbach, where taxes a little bit less, or Kilchberg side. People who move to Zürichberg are often people migrating to Zurich from Germany. And for them, tax saving is not the main reason.
It's great for them.
Yeah, it is, obviously. I mean, considering where they come from.
Exactly.
But the different aspects, and I think it's always interesting talking to those people, is quality of life. And if you have someone who's achieved great things in Germany, then they want to move to Zurich. There's this opportunity. I mean, we have, I call it the little big city.
Yeah,
you know, we have, it's beautiful. Quality of life is fantastic. We have culture. We have gastronomy. And one of the aspects that's super important for these people is healthcare. We have access to some of the best hospitals. So imagine this older couple comes to Zurich, says, well, we now take domicile here, and something happens to him, God forbid. But ultimately, within minutes, he's in one of the best hospitals. Yeah. And if his wife afterwards wants to go visit him, she can literally go by foot.
Yeah.
You know, those are aspects which are fantastic. And then obviously, international connectivity, the airport is very close by, everything.
And in terms of the type of properties, since we talk about Zurich, I cannot really, you know, settle in my brain. Is it more new build? Is it more like old traditional mansions?
No, it's
is
more...
Is it very modern? What do you see now?
You see younger trendy? People who've been here, they have tendency to often look at the more modern apartments, so to speak. If you see people who, for example, come from Germany, they often they seek this classic old Zurich villa.
I don't understand. Beautiful. But
wow, you know, it's like we don't have to understand everything. That's the good thing, you know. But that's just that's how I see the difference.
But that segment is still there, but it's kind of fading away, or
no, it's actually, you know, as the issues around inheritance tax have basically resolved themselves, it's just picked up back to normal.
And it's more flat, or you see that clientele more looking at standalone. Einfamilienhaus.
Standalone Einfamilienhaus is certainly something that's very sought after. But, you know, it's always, there's no specific that you can put on it, because some people, they just prefer the ease of taking the elevator into their apartment.
Yeah.
And some of them want to have this more representative estate, so to speak. Totally different to a market in St. Moritz.
Yeah, so tell me a bit more about that one, right? What do you see there?
I want to say the big change, or an enormous change, came with COVID. And I know COVID is now a while back and we still talk about it. But one of the things that we actually saw is that even a lot of people in Switzerland, they have decided, they experienced then that within Switzerland, they were still able to move very freely. So suddenly, hey, the mountains became very appealing. They started to purchase up around St. Moritz and in the neighboring towns, they started to purchase properties, and the prices have literally exploded. Then people suddenly realized, hey, I can have my job with a bank or an insurance company or whatever in Zurich, but part of the week I can actually live up there and work up there. Suddenly it started to get to the point, hey, why don't I put my kids into school
more demand,
up there?
Basically.
There has been a bigger demand for that. And one thing is that obviously drives prices is that the market is fairly dry. I mean, demand surpasses supply by far. Then on the other side, you have the very high-end luxury properties, especially, for example, you're looking at the Sovereta Hill. There are not that many transactions happening, because one thing is you have, with a total, if you count all the properties under construction in, you have like 64 properties at the Sovereta Hill, and this has become almost, I want to say, like a billionaire's game. It's very expensive. I would even make the statement it's probably one of the most expensive square meter prices in all of Europe, because it's so sought after. There's no price you can, there's no justification of the price.
From the 64, how many transact every day? What would be your estimate?
Every day. You talk about how many every year? Two, three? Maybe. It depends, you know. You have times where you have a little bit more transactions and then it kind of slows down again. Most transactions happen as do cases of inheritance.
Yeah, so it's basically a generation transfer.
Yeah, it's a generational change, you know. And then there's like a family has maybe three kids and, yeah, ultimately they decide, hey, we sell this property. Each kid gets some of the funds and can purchase something new. And that's how they move away from the Sovereta Hill. And then Sovereta Hill, I mean, in St. Moritz, it is also interesting because you have lump sum tax agreements. So you have people from abroad actually coming here. And if you buy those large properties, you basically, in almost all cases, you have to take residency. Otherwise, it's just, according to Lex Kohler, it's not possible.
And so tell us a bit about the buyers, right? What are we talking Swiss? Are we talking foreigners? What do you see currently happening in the market?
The market currently, I see more foreigners coming in and buying. I'm going to say at the Sovereta Hill, very wealthy Swiss families. They already have something there. Otherwise, they may not be willing to buy the price because they're somewhat a little bit more conservative. What you see is people coming in. From example, there could be a Norwegian family migrating to Lugano, taking tax domicile, and then they decide, hey, we also want to have something up in the mountains, then they purchase. Otherwise, you see, yeah, foreign buyers, because the creation of wealth that allows you to purchase such properties, that comes through people who do a tech IPO or have a big
liquidity. You have a lot of US interest, US clients?
I want to say US, I mean, there's like, for example, Andermatt, it's a lot more in discussion with US clients. You have US clients, but less. They're the very wealthy ones. And they, you know, they may have a house in Florida And then they, as the US tax passport holder is taxed globally. It doesn't matter where he is. And there's a tax treaty between Switzerland and the US. So he takes residency in St. Moritz. And it's also something fancy to tell his friends, well, you know, I go skiing and I have a house in St. Moritz, but you still go to a hotel in Aspen?
I mean, it used to be a bit chasse-gardé from the Russians and from the Italians, no, for years.
Look.
Or is it a perception?
No, it's absolutely. I mean, Italians, yes, you do have a lot of Italians. And that goes back, I mean, if you look, you have from Gucci family to all kinds of, like, they have, and they have taken domicile up there. Yeah. Also as their primary residence, as Italians, you have Ruffini from Moncler. You have all kinds of those families who reside there. Russians, not so much. Because there are very few Russians. It was always the big farce of, like, oh, all these Russians in St. Moritz. Well, these Russians, when they were still here, now they're basically not here anymore. They were sitting at the Kempinski or at the different hotels. But as property owners themselves, no, they don't really appear. You have certain ones, for example, Melinchenkov has a house on the Soretta Hill. And I think that's fairly public information. But he has his domicile there. I mean, he's registered in Switzerland. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to hold this property.
And so tell us about money now, right? I mean, this is expensive. What do your clients do in that segment? Do they buy directly? Do they leverage themselves? What's usually kind of the thought process?
Look, wealthy people, they generally always they try to get the highest return, I want to say, on their money. So
me too. So it's a good sign.
And you know, I mean, we can do simple math. These people, they often have strategic equity positions, large positions, which they can lend money against. And interest rates, you know this better than I do. This is your turf. Interest rates are very low. So they, even if they hedge currency and if they get loans out, I mean, 1% on a mortgage loan versus, I don't know, 7.5 on a long-term return on an S&P 500, I think it makes sense for them. And they're never going to have the issue that the bank calls them up as like you have to send in company.
What we see is very often on these properties, at least the impression that we have is that clients need to move fast. Mm-hmm. Don't know if it's a reality or that's what the brokers are telling them. Mm-hmm. But the clients usually want to move very fast. Mm-hmm. And usually they come to us or they talk to us when basically, it's already done, or it's about to be done. And mm-hmm. they pay cash, usually it's done. And then they kind of comes usually the family officer, the CFO of the group, and say, wait a second. Maybe mm-hmm. there's something better to be done here. And by the way, I understand the interest rate in Switzerland, we can borrow at 1%, which, you know, might be true in some cases, might be not true in some other mm-hmm. cases. But a lot of these clients, if we talk about Americans, right, they tend to get credit for 8%, right, in their own market. Mm-hmm. So I think the interest difference does interest people, and usually then comes the reflection, should I go Lombard credit? Mm-hmm. I take some of my big positions and I lend against them. Usually a lot of these clients are multi-banked already, so they kind of try to do that already. Or do I really go the full step where actually I get the property as a collateral, which does give me some liquidity aspect. I don't need to lock in assets, right? And that's where usually we come more into play and, mm-hmm. and have conversations with them. But
I can absolutely confirm.
It's usually a salami approach where you go step by step. Yes. Yeah,
but I can absolutely confirm what you say. I mean, I've seen that on many occasions previously. It needs to go fast. They want to purchase, so they're like, okay, I'll pay this thing cash, and they have cash somewhere. They pay, and then afterwards they solve the issue, and. What you see, I mean, there's still, if someone finances with a Swiss bank, you obviously you know this better than I do, but there are certain, with Basel III, there are certain restrictions. And then they have like, some banks is like, well, luxury real estate, I can give you up to 50% for the mortgage. But with the strategic equity positions they have in their portfolios, they can lever up to 80%+ because the bank says, well, look, the remainder of it will give you a Lombard.
Exactly.
And we have the security. So it's actually that happens. But interesting, as you said, often they move fast with the purchase and then they have like the family office, group CFO, someone who sorts out the issue afterwards. Because there's a big gap, you know, an interest rate gap, and it it would be silly for them to not profit off that. So I think that it provides ample great opportunities for you, and I think that also shows that you're providing a service for them that's very sought after, that's needed, you know.
You know, it's very interesting, right? When you talk about retail or affluent clients or lower high net worth, the purchase itself triggers the reflection on financing, wealth organization. For this type of clientele that buys, you know, double-digit million type of properties, it's not the purchase who is triggering the reflection. It's another investment which is triggering that most of the time, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning there's a pre-IPO round, or there is inheritance event in the family, or there is an opportunity to found the business or to invest. Then they're like, okay, I need leverage. What do I have? Oh, I have the 25 million property in Samoritz. Let's do something about that, right?
Absolutely.
And so very often the challenge that we have is that now pretty much every single bank says, I'm interested into the client, I'm interested into the property, but show me the money. I also need some assets, right?
Of
this
course.
Is a normal thing.
Yeah.
And the challenge we have often with clients that come when they already need cash somewhere else is that, you know, it's very counterintuitive to also then deposit cash at the bank to make the loan. So that's a bit the challenge that we tend to have. But as you know, we can resolve everything.
Yes.
But thanks, Pascal. Very interesting. I could talk about this market for hours. We might also do a follow-up in the mountains at some point. So it would be great.
I would love to.
Before we close, I had a few questions for you. So
please.
You're a professional, you know the entire market. So you own or you rent?
I personally rent.
But why?
Flexibility.
Flexibility. I thought this was only the young people.
Are you calling me old?
I thought we are old.
No, but I've been renting a place for quite some time, and I just love the place. And that's why I never really bought it. And it's convenient for me. In my daily routine, I travel a lot between the different locations, and it's for me in Zurich, it's very easy. I come back, and it's just something I don't really have to worry too much about.
So the second question, which is usually fixed or variable, hypothec, doesn't apply to you?
No. Yes. But in that, I would go variable.
Okay, you're a risk taker.
No, I don't think it has to do with risk. I think, and you have better experience than this, but if you look over the long run, if you look over very large time spreads, I think if you've gone variable, you've probably run better. But
our advice usually, today there's not huge difference. For your main residence, don't take the risk. Don't gamble the casino. If it's a rental property, other things, then actually, if the rates increase, the rents will increase, so there's an adjustment mechanism. But for the main property today, personally, although I probably made not such a great deal, I'm still a fixed person, right? Because I believe that on your main residence could to lock in the rate. But, you know,
you see, this is the very day where I switch from renting to owning. That's when I have to talk to you, because you're obviously going to give me the advice I need.
And so I have two more questions, actually three more. One is, how do you invest your money?
In the company.
Okay. That's what entrepreneurs do.
Yes.
Life insurance? Do you do life insurance?
No.
Why not? Yeah.
Look, I have my investment strategy is a very simple one. I mean, there's some ETFs and stuff. There's some mandates, but generally, there's one share that I can control to a large degree. What's going to happen with it? So I want to be invested in the company.
You know, it's we're very fortunate to have a huge community of entrepreneurs, and the life insurance topic is a big topic because very often they have family, they have, you know, and so even more when they buy real estate, right? You know, you usually tend to get more risks, but the day you buy, we'll do the risk analysis as we always do, and we're trying to tell clients, you know, they work 20, 30 years to buy a property. You know, it would be good to invest 2 minutes, not to lose it, type of thing. But interesting, life insurance tell us that a bit negative connotation sometimes, although, you know, sometimes people still need to protect themselves for rainy day. It's raining today, but... last question, Any advice for our next exciting guests in the podcast?
It's a very good question. I think there's some very interesting people who could talk to you about development, building.
We love
development.
Because
this is one of the interesting, I mean, if you look at Switzerland, I mean,
somebody has to build it, right?
Yeah, and the problem is, I mean, we have a huge deficit of actually there is not enough living space, good living space. We try, it's always a political thing, we should have more, but every time someone wants to build something, there are objections to it, then there are financing issues, then we have all sorts of regulations. So I think it would be interesting to talk to someone out of that space who can tell you about the challenges, because the one thing is, I sell the property for them. You finance it. Yeah. But someone has to build it.
You know, there was this huge shortage on Baukredit, on construction mm-hmm. credit yeah. last year. Yeah. It's getting a little bit better now.
Yes.
But, you know, it's probably one of the first things kind of the bank stopped mm-hmm. yeah. providing. And I hope the effect on the market will be mild. But, you know, I'm a bit worried there. Because, as you said, right, if we don't build, you know, we will not mm-hmm. make it, right? So, but thanks, Pascal, for the cool discussion.
Thank you very
much appreciated.
It's been a pleasure.
Go see Wüstenwüst if you're thinking about not just luxury but exclusive properties. Have a chat with the team. We'll put all the details of Pascal and his team into the footnotes as well. And thanks for following another episode of the Resolve Podcast. And see you very soon. Thanks, Pascal. One more.
I hope to see you in St. Moritz next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.